live local talk. It's Tesh Matters on the Voice of the Tesh. Cain Radio, New Iberia's only daily live call-in talk show.
25 minutes after 10 o'clock, our Mellow Joy Coffee Time. My pleasure to welcome back to the show Marty Harrell and another edition of Positively Iberia. Marty, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Getting, feeling better and stronger every day.
Good to hear.
It's all good. It's all good, my man. It's all good. Jeff, were you a Boy Scout growing up?
I never was, and ironically, it was because of the short pants.
Okay, that is ironic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I bet this heat's about to kill you because it's about to kill us that understand it from South Louisiana.
No doubt. Proud to wear shorts though today.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you certainly don't have to have been a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, too, for that matter, to know that their motto is simply be prepared. And for the Boy Scouts of America, the motto means that a scout is always in a state of readiness in mind and body to do their duty. And for the Girl Scouts, this means that being prepared at any moment to face difficulties and even dangers by knowing what to do and how to do it. Be prepared, like get a game plan, are certainly appropriate calls to action, especially for those of us living along the Gulf Coast this time of year. And to be better prepared, that's exactly what we're talking about on today's segment. So let's meet our Positively Iberia panel. Welcome to Positively Iberia, Mr. Prescott Marshall. Thanks for taking time out.
Hey, Marty. Yeah, I'm the Iberia Parish Government Director of Emergency Preparedness, and I'm also the 911 Director for Iberia Parish.
Well, thanks again. And Pastor Zach Mitchell.
Yeah.
So glad to see you on Zoom this morning, and welcome to Positively Iberia.
Good morning. Good morning to all your listeners. Zach Mitchell, I am a co-leader of Iberia Parish CERT, and I'm just thrilled to be on this morning.
Thank you, sir. And last but not least, somebody who's really familiar with Positively Iberia. In fact, every time he sends me a text message, it plays the second line call to second line, because he's our Mardi Gras connection. Mike Watney, good morning.
Good morning, Marty. Thank you for inviting me back. I'm besides the Mardi Gras parade, I'm also a co-leader of CERT, and happy to be here talking about preparation this year.
Yeah, you're wearing definitely wearing a different hat today for us, no doubt. No
Absolutely.
Doubt. Well, first, let's talk to someone who is without a doubt a professional planner, and that's Prescott Marshall. Let's talk about the parish government's responsibilities around disaster prep and response, shall we?
Sure. You can break up what we do into four categories, and any emergency preparedness person is going to tell you this. There's mitigation, trying to mitigate hazards now. We've done things like purchase generators. Right now we're trying to get a generator for one of our water systems. And we've also been purchasing generators for the sewer systems. Those are two things you do not want to be without, is water service and sewer service, or you're going to have a really bad day. The building I'm sitting in is a Category 5 rated hurricane building, so at least we knew we had one building that would allow us to operate in a really bad storm. We're always looking for ways to mitigate hazards in our coastal parish. We actually have a hazard mitigation plan that FEMA actually requires us to have to apply for these grants. We update that every 5 years. For preparedness, we're always looking for ways to prepare ourselves. CERT is an outstanding example of that. I won't get into that anymore, except to say just last week, the three of us, Zach, Mike, and I, were all out at the Sugar Arena walking through our evacuation procedures if we ever, God forbid, had to do a mandatory evacuation. So every year we're doing things to prepare ourselves, to equip ourselves better for a response. Then there's the response itself. To give your listeners an idea of how this works, is about 120 hours out, which is about 5 days out from projected landfall. What we start doing, and Zach and Mike are in these meetings, we'll meet with all of our leadership, the fire chiefs and the mayors, and we'll gather here and we listen to the Weather Service's briefings. We get very, very good support from the National Weather Service. I'm a big fan of the National Weather Service. And twice a day, they give us updated forecasts. And we keep doing that through 4 days out, 3 days out, 2 days out. And we base all of our decision-making on that. For instance, if we were to make a mandatory evacuation, we base that on what the National Weather Service is doing. And then post-storm, we have an H-hour plan. Like I said, it started at H minus 120 into H plus. So post-storm, we have planning events, things like debris removal. So we have a plan that takes us through all of this. We refine it every year. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of lessons learned the last couple of years. Your listeners, you know, if you think back, 2020, Lake Charles was just devastated by Hurricane Laura. We had some more hurricanes, but the other one that was really bad, of course, was Ida last year. And if you look at the coastal parishes in our state, well, really, every coastal parish got slammed except for Iberia and maybe St. Mary. So, you know, you can draw what lesson you want from that. Statistically, it's a new year, but boy, our neighbors to our left and right just got hammered in the last 2 years. And I participate in phone calls that the state organizes, and I'm listening to these my peers in these other parishes. You said I'm a preparedness guy. Well, it makes my hair, what little hair I've got left, it makes my hair curl. You listen to these communities, and one of the points I would make to our listeners is, and it's difficult to wrap your head around. I know because it's difficult for me, but what you need to do is almost hear these calls from these people saying, okay, we have no water service. And sometimes they can't even call. There were parishes last year that the state couldn't talk to after Hurricane Ida, but they had no water. The water lines have been ripped out of the ground by trees falling. You have no sewer service because the sewer lines are damaged or there's no power. So you can't get water to drink. You can't flush your toilet. That becomes a problem very quickly. There's no power to run your AC or to run any medical devices if you have medical devices that you plug into the wall. Gasoline, everybody knows what happens last year. We had sunny days, yet we were out of gas for like 9 days. And this is something you see repeatedly. And I'll stop to say that the one preparedness tip I always give to every public group I address, and that I tell my own family, I call my own family when I think it's going to get bad, is fill up every gas tank you have. Because if you have gas, you have transportation. And you mentioned earlier, I think Stephen Covey, starting with the end in mind. Well, everyone has to look at their own situation. Do you have elderly family members? Are you elderly? Do you take a lot of medication? Do you have pets? Do you have children? Do you have handicapped family members? And then with the end in mind of there's no water, there's no sewage, there's no electricity, there's no transportation if you didn't go out and get your gas in advance. There's no communications because you cannot charge your cell phone. You have to think, am I prepared for that outcome? And many of us are not. Something we've seen in these other parishes, and we're incorporating this as another lesson learned, is maybe 300 people evacuated from Terrebonne Parish beforehand. Then the storm hits. Everyone looks around and says, holy cow, this is like the surface of the moon. There's nothing here but air to breathe. So many people leave afterwards, and we will find a place for everyone. I'll tell you, though, a government-run shelter is not your first choice for a place to lay your head. We will keep you safe, but your planning, and you refer to getagameplan.org. That's a great website the state runs. Everyone needs to look at that and think in your own mind, okay, given my circumstances, given these potential outcomes, am I prepared myself and my family to go through that and my pets? What do I need to have on hand? Or maybe my plan needs to be to leave. And if you don't have gas, we all saw it last year, you're not leaving. And that's a bad feeling to have, is you're on E and there's no gas available. So if you've got gas, you can listen to your car radio, you can charge your cell phone, you can get out of town, you have air conditioning. So that is my one constant tip, and the one I give to my own family. But one thing, what we've learned last year and a year before, is everything can break. You can be out of every single one of these utilities that we so much take for granted. And it's so difficult to communicate that because most of us have never seen it. But you hear these people talking and it wakes you up. And my message to all your listeners is you have to think, what does that mean? If I don't have water, can I take my medicine? The example you gave. Who do I need to go look after? Who am I caring for? Who are my family members they might need to get out of town, and I know I'm their only ride. So everybody has to have a very serious discussion with themselves and their families about what does this complete lack of services mean? What we're doing to get ready, I mentioned it before, we're constantly applying for federal grants. We're currently applying for about $3 million in grants, mostly for generators, because we've seen some of these communities were out of power for weeks. You know, I don't know about everybody else. I can go without power and AC for a couple of days, and then I'm going to be tapped out. And I'm fortunate. I work in, my wife always reminds me, I work in a building that has two generators and fuel tanks, and we won't be having fun, but we're not going to be sweating here.
Yeah.
But you've got to really consider what's your personal threshold and your family's threshold and the threshold of those you care about and are responsible for. I want to add, and I'm not keeping track of my minutes, so you keep me straight, Marty.
Okay. I got a couple more.
If everybody goes to the Iberia Parish website homepage and go to the bottom, we have an alert system. And if you go in and give us your cell number, is all you have to give us. You can give us more. We can send out updates on what's going on, so you know, through texts, which are very easy to use. So pre-storm will tell you if there's going to be an evacuation. Post-storm will tell you if there's a shelter. We'll tell you where you can get MREs and water. We'll tell you if the debris is getting picked up and when. That's one thing that nobody thinks about it normally, but getting the debris picked up is a huge problem. It's probably what we spend more money on than anything else. We have two contracts with Nationwide Debris Removal and a debris monitoring firm, because you got to monitor it so we can get reimbursed for it. And the government doesn't go broke. But we'll putting out, how do you put out your debris? You know, do you separate? If you don't separate your refrigerator that you wrapped up in duct tape from all the lumber, then the tree branches you put out, it's not going to get picked up. Well, Iberia Pins is how you can hear from us. What are the rules and when's it happening? That's one of those post-storm things that people just don't think about if you don't force yourself to. So I would just wrap up by saying that every year we go through, we get lessons learned from our neighboring communities. Thank goodness we've been lucky for years. Again, you can draw your own conclusion. If it's been years, what does that mean for us going forward? But we've seen two terrible Gulf hurricanes hit Louisiana in the last 2 years. So we know we've got to be prepared personally. Our family's got to be prepared. GetACanePlan.org has the details. And I won't take everyone's time talking you through, do you need water? Do you need food? I'll tell you that, you know, my personal family preparation is we do have water. We keep batteries so we can charge stuff. We have some battery-powered fans for fans and lights. I would tell you, though, that what's most important is to have an idea of where are you going to go. We have a dog. We just adopted a big new dog from Parish Animal Control. And I'm trying to figure out, so the people who said they would host us, can I still go there with this pet? Everybody needs to do that analysis every year. You know, our situations change, families change, our medical conditions change. But everybody needs to consider their own circumstances. And how can I handle it if there's no power for 2 weeks and no water to drink? And I can't flush my toilet. If you're ready for that, fine. But you got to seriously ask yourself, because none of us ever have to confront those conditions, and they're tough.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're Americans are spoiled, and we don't understand third world conditions. And that's kind of what happens when a storm comes through our area. So now let's talk more specifically about CERT, C-E-R-T. I have to admit that I've seen the trailer many, many, many times, but I really honestly don't know much about the program myself, so I think the listeners and I are going to learn something together. Zach, tell us what CERT is, and take it from there, sir.
All right. Very good. Very good. It's just good to be with you, and CERT stands for Community Emergency Response Team. Now notice it's a response team. And you know, a response team is someone that has been trained and et cetera. But CERT is a FEMA-sponsored organization and program, but it's designed as a grassroots, meaning that it gets involved, the community, where the rubber meets the road. And so CERT volunteers have an opportunity to be trained to respond in a safe manner, in a responsible manner, and effectively to emergency situations in your area. CERT probably community-wise, it has over 2,700 CERT programs in the nationwide, probably more, because I think that graphic, that point may be a few years, but roughly about 600,000 trained CERT volunteers in the national program. The CERT concept was developed and implemented by the Los Angeles City Fire Department in 1985. There was a response to an earthquake in where there were a certain number of people, and then twice as many people responded to go in to help those people, and most of those people that went in perished simply because they were not trained and they did not know how to try and help someone. And so what CERT does, as I said earlier, it is a grassroots program, and what it does, it educates and trains the community concerning disasters and how to do the greatest good for the greatest amount of people until the professionals arrive. So that's really, see, because an emergency can happen at your residence or at your neighbors. And so if you are trained to that certain degree, then you can respond in a safe, responsible manner. So that's basically what's behind CERT. And Mr. Michael Watney is going to deal with CERT as it appears in our parish, in Iberia Parish.
Awesome. Take it away, Mike.
Okay. I mean, Zach did a great job explaining exactly what CERT is. And I think it's important to note that, I mean, we all know it already, but, you know, Acadiana and Iberia itself was full of people with huge hearts. And when the call comes, they want to help. So on the theme of preparedness and planning, that's what CERT is. It's a tool to be prepared and to plan for any event that could arise. And the focus of it is, you know, we have these great resources. We have, two great fire departments, both in the city and the parish. We have, excellent law enforcement, both city and parish, that are trained. We've got a Homeland Security's office who's on top of their game. But all those resources combined, they have a big task when a disaster happens. And those resources sometimes can take a couple of minutes to get into place. You know, if let's say we have a tornado, you know, that would come through a neighborhood here. Those resources have to get in that area mobilized. But while they're doing that, there's neighbors that could be responding immediately from house to house, doing things as triage or doing things as simple as basic first aid until professional help can get there, doing other things like managing the situation, identifying the most serious needs so that when those responders get there, they've got great information and they're eliminating critical time, you know, to get to these people and treat them and know exactly what they have to do. So having that dynamic within the community is partly what CERT's all about. There's CERT chapters all over the state of Louisiana. My best guess is there's probably about 15 of them, 15 parishes that have CERT chapters. And the one here in Iberia is particularly active. We do things that are kind of outside the normal scope of CERT. Because we're a coastal parish, one of the things we have to deal with, obviously, is hurricanes and storm surge. And our CERT teams here are instrumental in communicating with press and the parish president's office and establishing shelters to house our residents in Iberia Parish should the need arrive. We also do evacuation centers. Last week, we hadn't had an evacuation center since 2008, I think it was. So we went through as like a tabletop exercise and talked about, you know, school buses picking up people in the community, bringing them to a central point, you know, us logging, registering, doing some logistics, keeping track of what needs to happen and where these people are going when they're being brought to a safe place. Logistics is a big part of it. We've set up donation centers in the past after we've had floods where all this stuff was coming into our community. We helped inventory it. We helped track it. Got with the other agencies through United Way and several churches to make sure that the people who needed the material were getting that material. And then there's everyday responses that could happen at a moment's notice. You know, we have a railroad that runs straight through New Iberia that that could potentially be hazardous. You know, if there was a spill, you know, we mention all the time that, you know, we see tornadoes, you know, kind of popping up in and around Acadiana more and more. That's another thing. We have man-made disasters that there may be a call in to mobilize CERT volunteers and get them to help in some logistics or sheltering or different things. So there's a lot that we do working with parish government and the Homeland Security Office, and there's a lot of different tasks. So if somebody is interested in participating, you know, it's there's something for everybody, no matter you know, what your skill set is. We can always use good volunteers. And if somebody does want to volunteer, we invite them to contact us through our Facebook page, which they can search and find it under Iberia Parish LA CERT, CERT, or they can call Zach Mitchell at 337-256-3672, or one of our other co-leaders, Cheryl Sheremy, at 337-380-3668. So if you're interested in participating in these type of events, please reach out to us. I promise you there's a job or a task that will match up to your skill set. And we love to help. We'd love to talk to you ahead of time. We'd love to do more training and prepare the community. We always see it when something happens, everybody wants to help. This program gives us kind of the foot forward to be prepared and be able to respond, adequately, well, when there's a need.
That's awesome. And I was not aware, I literally was not aware that this is basically the pre-first responders, if I understand this correctly, yeah. in a situation where the first responders are overwhelmed, the CERT team actually jumps in and does the analysis and gets and responds at that level until the professionals can get there. Correct. That is way cool, and it just might be your neighbor.
It is, or it might be somebody in your own household. It starts at that basic element, you know, protecting your family, giving you the training to protect your family and your loved ones. And then you make sure you and your family are safe, and then you go to your neighbor, and then you go to the next neighbor. So it works.
Yeah, we've used the analogy before about the message in the aircraft about put the mask on yourself first and then put it on the child that's with you or whatever. So that is very interesting, gentlemen, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who learned a lot. Jeff, did you have a caller? I couldn't tell.
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. I try to keep an eye on that, but usually you wave at me. And how are we doing on time?
Mayor is in today, so about 10 minutes.
okay, we're good, we're good. I do have some other things to share that are coming up like very soon and over the next couple of weeks, so I'll get to that real quick. Like, of course, tomorrow is the Iberia Medical Center Women Making a Difference luncheon that's produced by Acadiana Lifestyle, celebrating the 2022 Women Making a Difference honorees. It will be at the Event Center in New Iberia tomorrow over lunch. There are only about 10 tickets left. I spoke to Shanna Dickens this morning, but I'm going to put the link. If you want a ticket, you can still buy your tickets online. No tickets are sold at the door. Keep that in mind. And also Saturday is the second annual How You Livin'? Liam McDuff Memorial Golf Tournament over at Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Proceeds from that event award scholarships to local faith-based schools, and their foundation donates to other youth organizations. So I'll post a link to that on our Facebook page. And after a two-year COVID hiatus, and this kind of fits in with today's discussion, the sixth annual Battle for the Paddle Shrimp Cook-Off is back at the Delcom Shrimp Festival grounds Saturday from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., going on all day. The cooking competition will start serving the public at noon. Admission is $10 a person, and kids under 5 are free. There's also going to be market vendors from 8 to 2 and a silent and live auction. Now, it's important to know that this event supports the Delcom Fire Department's 20-plus firefighters and over 30 active members, including junior firefighters and support personnel. And while the department does receive budget from both Iberia and Vermilion Parish, remember, Delcom's on the line, those funds aren't enough to cover all the expenses of the department and safely run on a daily basis to maintain their Class 4 PIAL rating, which directly affects the residents how much they pay for their fire insurance. So without the continuous changes in regulations, and the department still needs new equipment, and they need to meet National Fire Protection Association standards and state standards. So this fundraising effort is critical. Yes, I know it's going to be hot Saturday, there's no doubt, but remember the sacrifices that our firefighters make no matter the weather. So I'll have a link on Facebook for that as well. The Iberia Cultural Resources Association's 11th annual Stars and Stripes, a musical celebration, is this Sunday, the 26th, at the Sugarcane Festival Building. It's free of charge. The concert will feature the Acadiana Symphony Orchestra, and musical selections are going to include patriotic music, jazz, Broadway, and World War II era music. Always way cool. The concert begins at 3. If you can't make it out, Jeff?
Yeah, we will simulcast the concert.
Good. So you catch it on Kane if you can't make it out there. Now, veterans in attendance will be recognized, and if you're planning to attend, we suggest that you call Nelwyn Hebert at 337-967-2018 to add your name to the Veterans Honor List. And if you want a souvenir photo snapped, arrive at the event early between 1:15 and 2:30. And mark your calendar now for two important upcoming chamber events. First, the latest edition of Eggs and Issues, a legislative wrap-up on July 14th at 7 a.m. at Magnolia Square, right around the corner from the Kane Studios at 111 Iberia Street. You'll hear from our local delegation on what transpired at the past legislative session in Baton Rouge. Of course, have a delicious breakfast. The chamber hardly ever does anything where there's not food involved. And And a Q&A session for our delegation. It's $25 for chamber members and $35 for non-members. You can give the chamber office a call, or again, register at the chamber website, and I will post that link. And later in the month, on Thursday the 28th, July 28th, it's the chamber's annual banquet. It's held again this year at the Bayou Oaks Ballroom right here on Admiral Doyle, right here in Iberia Parish. The 2022 event is made possible by presenting sponsor LeBlanc Honda Kia Nissan. The keynote speaker will be New Iberia's own Virge Osbury Jr., the former LSU football standout and NISH class of 85 graduate. He's now the executive deputy director of athletics and executive director of external relations for LSU. Also at that event to be honored are the Business Impact Award recipients, Miller Management McDonald's, and the Iberia Comprehensive Community Health Center, along with Civil Service Award recipients, Mike's great parents, Dean and Catherine Watney. And, of course, the Watneys are frequent guests on Positively Iberia as well with their work in mental health and just lots of other things, but certainly keynote. And as traditional at the banquet, there will be a silent auction and a lively live auction. There always is. Tickets will be going on sale soon, so just keep an eye on the Chamber's Facebook page for details. Join us next Thursday when we wrap up the month with a June Is segment that will feature both Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month with Deborah Savoy, the co-founder of Alzheimer's Services of Acadiana, and WHAM, the Wound Healing Awareness Month, that is with Christy Parker, who's the program director of the Advanced Wound Care Center at Iberia Medical Center. Of course, you can always get the details, find out what's coming up in our regular programming and show on the go plans, as confirmed by giving our Positively Iberia Facebook page a like and follow. Now, this Peek Behind the Curtain Facebook Live recording will post almost immediately, but later today we'll edit and add all of these links in case you missed it or we didn't have time to mention them. They'll be on the event video. And the audio archives are maintained on Kane1240.com. You can just click on the Positively Iberia tab there and replay our radio programming on demand. A special thanks to today's panel, Prescott Marshall, the Director of Emergency Management and 911 for Iberia Parish Government, and Zach Mitchell, President, and Mike Watney, Co-Coordinator of the Iberia Parish Community Emergency Response Team. We'll get that in there again. CERT, known as CERT. Yes. With great information on how to be prepared for whatever Mother Nature sends us along the way. Real very, very quick, like, Zach, Mike, want to give a shout out how to get in, how to sign up if we want to?
Yes. As Mike mentioned, we have a Facebook page, Iberia Parish CERT. You can go there and see previous things that we've done and connect with us there or call me at 337-256-3672 or Miss Cheryl Sheremy at 337-380-3668. And remember, CERT's goal is to educate and train our community on how to do the greatest good for the greatest amount of people until the professionals arrive. So thank you so much, Marty.
Oh, you're very welcome. Any quickly last thoughts, Press?
I would just mention that my peers in other parishes have envied what I said we had with CERT. We're blessed to have such an active CERT team. It's difficult to describe in a short period of time how much they do for the community and how important they are to our emergency preparedness. CERT is so important to what we do, and I really encourage anybody who's interested to contact them because we always need more help.
That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all coming. Positively Iberia is produced as an ongoing initiative of your Greater Iberia Chamber of Commerce, sponsored by Iberia Medical Center, who reminds everyone, don't delay care, and in cooperation with Tesh Matters here on Kane 107.5 FM and AM 1240, with support from the Daily Iberian. In closing, according to Stephen Covey of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People fame, the number one habit we should learn is to, quote, be proactive, end quote. And number two is, quote, begin with the end in mind. Now, we'll add a little thought from supernatural and horror fiction Stephen King author that really brings us all back to the mission of Positively Iberia, which I think is cool. Quote, there is no harm in hoping for the best as long as you're prepared for the worst. And with this, I'll remind everyone, especially since today is National Hydration Day, stay hydrated and watch your sun exposure, both for you and your pets. And don't forget to check on your elderly family and friends who may not handle this heat quite as well. Stay safe. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you again next Thursday. I'm Marty Harrell, Positively Iberia's program manager and producer, reminding you, it's only getting better.